All right, it's great to see you here this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we'll begin there this evening, look at several verses of Scripture. And want to study tonight in God's Word, and this week as we enter the Sunday school lessons, we'll be studying this particular issue in our series, Issues of Life, Answered from the Bible. The issue, what does God's Word say about gay rights? What does God's Word say about gay rights? When we begin to consider this subject, of course, first and foremost, I think, as entering into any subject, we need to have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ about any subject that we deal with, but particularly concerning a subject like this that to me is so serious, and that you and I know, those of us who know very many people at all, we know that there are many, many, many families who are touched by this very sin, the sin of homosexuality. And that saddens our hearts. That's not something we're glad about. And so I'd hate to be guilty of teaching it in such a way that I was glad that people have to deal with this. I don't think you'd want to be guilty of that either, right? I want to have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. I've known some godly people who are dealing with this in the lives of their own children, in the lives of their own family, and it's something extremely, extremely serious to deal with. And it's something at the same time that we want to mention, of course, and teach also that God in heaven is the only one who can give deliverance from. And we'll talk about that a little bit. The first mention of this is found in the book of Genesis, where God speaks about the men of Sodom and their sin. Look at Genesis 13 and verse 13. The Bible mentions here, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then turn a few pages over, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18 with me. Read a little further. Of course, you most of you are familiar with the story of Lot and how he pitched his tent towards Sodom and finally ended up in Sodom and as a leader ruling in the gate of Sodom. And we find that they were wicked and sinners before the Lord. And then we find a little indication about their sin a little later on, because as the two angels in Genesis chapter 19 were sent in to try to deliver Lot and his family from the city, the Bible says, if you want to look in chapter 19 and verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. So who's saying this? Well, the Bible says here in verse 4 that it's all the men of Sodom. They compassed the house round about, both young and old, and their desire was to know these new men who had entered into the town. And we see insight into as to why God said they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And certainly there are other sins involved in Sodom. There's no doubt. Those other sins are mentioned in other places of Scripture. But this is an indication of the depravity to which this city had gone. They were filled with the sin of homosexuality. Filled with it. Both young and old, men from every quarter. And in this particular situation, we look down in Genesis chapter 19, look at verse 24. The Bible says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. That was God's reaction to it. That was the severity with which God dealt with these people and with this sin. And this sin indicated the depravity to which they had gone. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 18, if you want to turn forward a little bit in the Pentateuch there, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22 is such a clear verse in dealing with this subject. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, I think a young person can read that and understand it, right? And thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit of God, in inspiring the Scriptures, knows how to word these things in just a way that's appropriate, but yet clearly understandable. He said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, and that's the word the Bible uses to describe it. Now, in this issue, as in any issue, we need to use Bible language, and we need to take the Scriptures as our guide. We live in a nation that's lost its moral compass, but we have a moral compass. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. When we think about our lives and our families, we talked last week, I think this lesson kind of grows out of, I think it's good to give it the very next week after we dealt with identity. Modesty and identity. Remember, we dealt last week with the fact that God created man male and female. Male and female. And God instituted the home. And there's nothing more beautiful in the face of all the earth than a Christian home. And that's what God designed. A husband and a wife and children as God gives and provides. That's God's plan for the home. In fact, that's the first institution, that's the primary institution of this earth, ordained by God Himself. And for man to think that he can improve upon that, or for man to seek to twist that and pervert that and change that, is absolutely wicked. In fact, the Bible says it's an abomination. The Christian home is something beautiful. And for somebody to think they can mess with that and change that pattern, a husband and a wife and children as God gives, listen, that is basically a slap in the face of God Almighty who created us. And essentially, when we come to the matter of homosexuality, basically that's what it is. It is a perversion of the truth of God's Word. It's a perversion of what God intended, of what God designed in His all-knowing, omniscient mind. This is how God designed for our lives, for our families to be. And this is a perversion of it. And you don't have to, I don't have to tell you this, but our country is being conditioned and really indoctrinated and reprogrammed to accept this, what's called lifestyle, as not only just something that's acceptable, but something that's actually right and something that people should consider for their lives. And it begins all the way to the very youngest of children. It goes all the way through our schools and into our jobs, our big corporate offices. Everybody is being indoctrinated to accept this perversion of the truth as something that's acceptable and right in the eyes of man. And the truth is, if we're going to stick with God's Word, we understand, well, man may think it's acceptable, but God doesn't. And we have to determine we're going to stand where God stands on it. By the way, it's a lot easier to talk that way when you're among Christian people like we are here than it is when you're out there among people who aren't Christian. That's why it's so important that we use Bible language and people understand clearly that what we believe comes from God's Word. You know, there are some things given in your reading material I think you'll find extremely interesting about laws that have been passed recently, even as recently as the end of August of 2002 in the state of California now. School systems now, it's illegal for them to in any way, quote, discriminate against homosexual behavior, gay or lesbian behaviors or tendencies in sports programs, public programs like the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, in any other program associated with a school. Extreme fines can be given. In fact, in many school systems, not just in California, teachers are being required to go to what they call sensitivity training. And they say, and in this, quote, sensitivity training, they're saying, well, this is necessary so that we can have safe schools in a sexually diverse culture. They're saying that teachers have to use the terms gay and lesbian and transgender, those particular terms, as often as possible and always in a positive connotation. And this begins in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. They're actually teaching teachers to use those terms in positive ways as often as they possibly can. And we've heard about this, and we know this is out there, but it's almost like we're not touching it, we're not realizing it. It's more than just a few people sitting around somewhere who say, well, we want to just be left alone in our sin. Our entire nation is being led and indoctrinated to receive something that is a lie. And I want you to see that tonight. I want you to consider three things. First of all, we'll look at in God's Word. I want you to consider their lies. Their lies. Look in Romans chapter 1. That's pretty strong to say that somebody's lying. Yes, it is. But I want you to know that that's exactly what the homosexual community is doing to our country and, of course, many other countries around America. They've already taken Europe, essentially. But many other countries around the world. Look at Romans chapter 1, look at verse 21. We're describing here the world that does not know God and people who do not know God. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over unto reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. Now, I want you to notice in this description, and obviously we're leading very clearly, without any doubt, to this sin of homosexuality. Men working with men, women working with women, that which is unseemly. But right in the heart of it, verse 25, he says, they change the truth of God into a lie. And I want you to know the pleas and the movement of the homosexual community in our nation today is filled with lies. It's filled with lies. That's the only way to describe it. These are lies. They are not the truth. Here are a few of them listed here for you in the lesson. One lie, in fact, I heard this on the radio just yesterday in dealing with a certain issue in our country. One lie is this. They say, well, this is a civil rights issue. And they're comparing it back to the civil rights issues. Well, number one, homosexuality is not it is a lifestyle. It's not a nationality or a race. And they're saying, well, we're being discriminated against. This is a hate crime, throwing that word around. This is a hate crime, but we're being discriminated against for who we are. Well, we're not dealing with people who are of a certain race or nationality. If somebody's of a certain race or nationality, they had no choice in that matter. Do you understand? They were born the way they were born because God deemed it that way. But a homosexual has a choice and made that choice. It's not just a race or nationality. It's really just a sinful lifestyle. That's what it is. It's a sinful lifestyle. And that's a lie. It's not a civil rights issue. Not at all. Another lie. They say, well, people are born this way. There's not one doctor to ever live on the face of this earth who can ever prove and who would ever be bold enough to state with any evidence that people are born homosexuals. It's just not true. It's just not true. And the sad thing is, we're promoting the lifestyle, and yet it's destroying so many people's lives. Over 50% of cases of AIDS in our nation, over 50% of the cases of AIDS are found in homosexuals. And that's amazing when you consider they only make up maybe between 1%, at the very most 2% of our entire population. But over 50% of cases of AIDS dealing with them. Over 50%, reliable statistics say over about 50% of suicides are somehow related to homosexuality. Can you imagine? Destroying people's lives. People aren't born that way. People choose that. And sin becomes the master. So they say this lifestyle is gay. They've ruined forever a good word of the English language, right? It's not at all gay. The diseases and the things that go on with this lifestyle, it's not at all gay. It's just a lie of the devil. They say, sometimes some would say, well, we just want to be left alone. Well, that can't be true. I'm not trying to be cute, but if you have a homosexual community and they say, we want to be left alone, well, eventually they'd all die out, right? Because they can't reproduce. All they can do is recruit. And although some would say, I'm not a recruiter. Well, in general, though, the group is a recruiting group because that's the only way they can gain members. And then the last lie, this is kind of lingo of today, they say, well, tolerance is the goal. We just want, this is an age of diversity, and we just want everybody to be tolerant. No, they want everybody to accept a perversion of the truth of God's word, and that's just not true. Their lies must be considered. Secondly, I want you to consider this, the lowest level of human depravity. The lowest level of human depravity is characterized in the sin of homosexuality. Look back in Romans chapter 1. Can you see how in Romans chapter 1 verse 21 it begins with idolatry, then it goes into immorality, and the very last thing that we come to on the list is verse 26. It says God gave them up into vile affections. God places this sin on the very lowest level of human depravity. Now that doesn't sound very nice, but I want you to know that's the truth. We're not against the people. But that sin characterizes the lowest level of depravity as far as people who have turned their back on God and are running from God and the truth of God's word. Vile affection is the language of Scripture. In fact, the Bible uses the word in 1 Kings chapter 15. He calls them sodomites. Back in Leviticus 18, he uses the word abomination. And we need to see that this is God's placement of this sin. It's not something to be accepted. It's not something to be tolerated. That's not the goal. It's something that we need to understand that God places on the very lowest rung of the ladder. And we need to stand where the Bible stands on this issue. Then the last thing I want you to consider is not only their lies, and this is the lowest level, but I want you to consider the last days. Now, I want you to know, I believe we're living in the last of the last days. Look real quick at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll notice the description given here. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then we get to this little characteristic. He says, without natural affection. You know, it's natural for a man to love a woman. And it's natural for a woman to love a man. And the opposite of that is not natural at all. And we understand that, don't we? This is part of what God said would characterize the last day. So what are we supposed to do? In fact, in the book of Jude, it talks about this sin as well, and that's a last day's book. What are we supposed to do? I think we have to determine we're just going to stand where God stands. We're going to speak the truth. It's being perverted. People are lying about it, but we're going to stand for the truth. We could do something about our own families. We could do something about our own church. We could do something about the people that we can influence. We could teach them the truth of God's Word. And we help them get grounded in the Word of God and see God's design and God's pattern. And then not only that, we can pray for those who are so sadly, sadly fallen to this sin that's become their master. Can you imagine the bondage? We can't even imagine the slavery, literally, to sin that so many people are under today. And yet they're so deceived. The last verse I would have you to turn to this Sunday is to remind you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. It mentions homosexuality. Paul's writing about it. Certainly, it's not a characteristic of a Christian. It's not a characteristic of a believer. He talks about those characteristics in verse 9 and 10. It says in verse 9, nor abusers of themselves of mankind. That's speaking of homosexuality. But then he says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You say, what do people need? We just need to love them. Well, we do need to love them. But you know what they need? John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These people in the New Testament somehow that Paul met in Corinth heard the truth one day, and it made them free. They were washed in the blood of Jesus, and only God could deliver them. That's exactly what God chose to do. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The lowest level of human depravity, those who even find themselves there on God's scale can still be delivered and washed by the blood of Jesus. I think I find it in the Scriptures. And I want to teach it, and I want to help people to know it this week. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we find your perfect design and your perfect pattern in the Word of God for how we are to order our families. And Lord, I praise you for the beauty and the wonderful things we enjoy as we follow your pattern and plan. Lord, I pray you'd help us to stand true to the Word of God. Help us not to twist the truth in any way. Help us use Bible language, but help us to have a compassionate heart and see you work in people's lives, I pray. Amen.